So welcome to Greenwich Pantry. I'm really happy to have Linda back with us again. It's got to be a different season now because Linda's here and she's going to be talking about food growing and what we can expect in the months of June and July, and maybe give us some nuggets of information that you might want to go away and explore.
Oh, thanks, Lara. It's lovely to be back. And yeah, hopefully everyone can learn something.
So what's been happening? The last time you were with us on the podcast, you gave us the very interesting news about the hungry gap.
Yes. Yeah. So it was maybe March, wasn't it? Or maybe the beginning of April. I can't remember exactly. But yeah. But yes, everyone will be very pleased to know that it's over. The hungry gap's over because everything that we sort of planted in really early spring or late winter is now ready, so, or starting to be ready anyway. So yeah, there should be lots and lots of lovely seasonal veg out there for everyone. So it's good.
Good. So not only is the weather great,
yes,
sunny today at least,
yeah,
we've also got some nice fruit and veg to look forward to. So what's the one to watch? What are the interesting flavors that are coming out of our food growing season?
Yeah, I think one of the best things to get now before it runs out is British asparagus. I think we spoke about it briefly last time, but we're coming to the end of that season now. You can get it from obviously European countries or from further afield, but the British ones, obviously it's much fresher. So yeah, now it's going to run out soon. So yeah, you need to get in there and get some asparagus.
Yeah, I do remember talking about asparagus and saying how, it's one of the language of love, isn't it, in
yes.
the food world?
Yeah, because it's known as an aphrodisiac, isn't it? Whether that's
but
true
we're
or not,
in
I don't
June.
Know.
but we're in June, so, maybe we can start with the Valentine's in June again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Valentine's Revisited, yeah.
So asparagus is interesting. Is there anything else?
Yeah, I mean, you're going to be seeing maybe, if you're growing at home, you're going to be seeing maybe the very first courgettes. They're probably quite small now, but then the small ones are always really sweet and tasty. Obviously, you might be getting a few tomatoes if you're growing outside. If you're growing inside, you might have already had some of your own tomatoes. But they're definitely, the British ones are definitely in season now. You can find them much more easily in supermarkets. Another good one is the very early new potatoes. They should be coming now. Because they've probably went in sometime in March or April, so they're still quite small, but they're those really lovely, fresh, small, tasty new potatoes that we're getting.
Okay, so I want to explore a bit more about some of the ones that you've mentioned. Mm-hmm. First, the courgette.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the courgette, the one that I love the most is the yellow one.
Yeah.
Is this something that we are going to be getting as well, or is there another season for that?
No, I mean, they should be coming on as well now, to be honest with you. It's the colour doesn't, because I love the yellow ones too. And don't quote me on this because it's something that I need to check. I'm not sure that they're not a hybrid one that's been kind of not genetically modified or anything bad.
No.
And it's nothing bad like that. Nothing bad like that. But I'm not sure if it's. Do you know what? I really don't know. I'm not gonna make claims. I don't know.
Don't make it up. We'll find out if you made it up.
Exactly. I'm gonna check my facts before I say anything. But I think it's a hybrid variety that. If people have planted that, that should be coming out now as well. Again, they're going to be quite small at the moment. You're not going to see like the big, chunky, almost marrow-shaped courgettes. But
how large do they grow?
I mean, I don't know if you've ever seen them. If you leave them, they get enormous. You can get them. I don't even know, but definitely a couple of kilos in weight just worn. If
really?
You, yeah.
I always thought they were just animated ones, you know. I'd never thought that they were actually real.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think they taste very nice when they're that big. The smaller ones are so much nicer. But yeah, if you leave one to grow, like maybe if you want to leave one to do seed saving because you're going to plant from that one next year, then you leave it to grow in, as big as it can. Yeah, but they can definitely get, I have no idea what the world record is, but I imagine
I'm sure there'll be a record somewhere.
Yeah.
Okay, so the yellow ones, do they come in a different color to green and yellow?
No, you get the dark green ones, which are maybe more common in this country, and then you get the lighter green ones.
Are the dark green ones quite bitter?
Yeah, I much prefer the other ones, the lighter ones. They're a little bit less hardy just in terms of growing. The dark green ones seem to be a little bit more kind of pest resistant and our climate resistant, to be honest. But the skins tend to be a little bit more bitter, whereas the light coloured ones are a bit sweeter and very like soft skins, I'd say.
Yeah. And you also mentioned the tomatoes.
Mm-hmm.
Are we talking the cherry tomatoes or are we talking a different kind?
Yeah, I would say probably the cherry tomatoes that are grown here are ready now, whereas maybe the bigger ones like beef heart and things like that, they need a little bit more time. They need more sunshine, basically. So they're going to be more towards the end of the season. So maybe into July, August, when they've had time to kind of soak up all that sun and all the goodness and really kind of grow. The cherry ones.
And again, I see some of those come in different colours. Mm. And I do see them in sort of a dark purple.
Yeah. They're delicious. I don't know if you've ever had them. They're called black tomatoes.
Mm.
Oh, they're so good. I really like those.
I haven't had the black tomatoes, but I've seen them.
Mm.
I've always thought, wow, these look really cool.
Yeah. Yeah. No, if you get a chance, definitely get some because they're one of my favourites.
Yeah. Of course, one of the reasons why the colours are important is because they are nutrients for us. They do, when you have different colors, you have different types of minerals and vitamins coming from the fruit and vegetables.
Mm-hmm.
And they give us a lot of variety in our diet. So I know that people sometimes think, oh, you know, what's the point of different colors when it comes to fruit and veg in nutrition? It is simply because each fruit type of a different color gives something different, and the more variety we have in our nutrients, the better it is for us. So
yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
That's one of the reasons why I keep asking you, so what color, what other
well
colors
yeah
come from?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and yeah, apart from the nutrients, I just think if you have like a salad that's got the yellow or the red and the dark tomatoes in it, it just looks amazing as well, doesn't it? It's like rainbow chilled or something. Yeah, the green is beautiful and it's really tasty, but I don't know, there's something about having all those colors in one dish that it looks brilliant as well as being super good for you. So
yeah, so you tick all the boxes, and because people eat with their eyes, don't they?
Yeah.
If you see a beautiful plate, you're more likely to go for that than if you saw something that was kind of dull and brown and maybe not so pretty.
I mean
we do need the potatoes to that, and that brings me to talk about the potatoes that you mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
Are they the kind of the really soft type, you know, like when you cook them, or are they kind of like, you know, have a bite to the have a kind of sturdiness about them?
Yeah, I can't remember the variety of them now, but they, yeah, I'm sorry, I can't think of what the variety is called, but yeah, the baby salad tomatoes, they have Yeah, sorry, I can't remember the name.
Well, they're not the tomatoes. Sorry,
the potatoes.
The potatoes.
No, yeah. Sorry, it's me. It's getting my words mixed up. Not my...
I'm putting you on the spot here. yeah, so the potatoes, there's so many different varieties. Mm. And I'm constantly discovering different varieties when I go and when I taste potatoes. Mm. When I go to buy them sometimes. I haven't grown them, I have to say, but when I go and buy them and I see the little sort of long type ones with the kind of I think they're called Edward potatoes.
Yeah, they might be. Yeah, I think you might be right. Yep. Mm. Yeah, and they're not, because you don't really need to peel them because their skins are so thin. And yeah, I think growing and eating potatoes, growing potatoes I find really, really satisfying, because I think because it's such a kind of staple crop. Mm-hmm. it's a bit like making your own bread, so it just feels very, yeah, just very real in a way.
Yeah, sure. Mm. And is this something that we have to have grown in March, or is it sort of what's the timeline for?
Yeah, there's an old wives' tale, I don't know how true it is, but they say the best day to plant potatoes every year is on Good Friday.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and it's something about that the moon is in the right place. It obviously, it's not a science necessarily, but when I lived in Italy, it was very like people planted by where the moon was. Mm. But yeah, they say Good Friday, the moon, because obviously it's movable, isn't it, every year, so it's always connected to the moon. So yeah, Good Friday, so that could be March or April, is the day to put your potatoes in the ground.
Mm.
Yeah,
and that's a good tip.
Yeah, and so the first ones you're going to get are going to be June. And then you can, depending how long, what variety they are and how long you want to leave them in the ground, how big you want them to be, you can harvest them kind of regularly through until sort of August, September time.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, it depends how many you're talking about, but a lot of people then maybe save them, store them over winter so that you've got kind of like fresh potatoes that you can use all winter.
So how do they get stored then?
Yeah, I mean, it's quite difficult to do at home, because they need to be in a cool, dark place, and very often in sand, because if you leave them, they start sprouting. And then, I mean, we've all done it when you buy a bag of potatoes, you don't eat them quickly enough and they all start sprouting. Mm. yeah, so it's actually quite difficult to do unless you've got like a cellar or something where you can keep them. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's, yeah.
Okay, so we are getting quite a bit of a colourful plate just by talking. Now we've got the potatoes,
mm-hmm.
And then we've got we've talked about the courgettes, which will be mm-hmm. either yellow or green, and then we talked about the tomatoes. So you know, you could even make a salad out of that.
Yeah, absolutely.
And what else could you add to that plate?
I guess there's loads of salad leaves that are out, that are ready now, that you can be harvesting. And also,
can you give me the name of a sweet salad leaf? Because I don't like the bitter ones.
Do you not? Okay. Yeah, you see, I love the really peppery ones. So yeah, but then is it butterhead? That's quite a sweet salad. Or lollo.
That's the new one to me.
Yeah, lollo, and you normally get green or red, so again you're adding more colors. Mm-hmm. For the lollo, they're sweet and kind of tender lettuce leaves, or salad leaves, sorry. All the chards are ready, so again you can put your rainbow chards in there, or just the green, the Swiss chard, spinach, and that's a good one all year round, really.
So when you do your chard, tell me, yes. do you steam it, do you put it in the, can it be like a kale where you can do a kind of charred crisp, or do you boil, no you don't boil it, that would not be right, you would steam it, wouldn't you?
Yeah,
you,
I guess steam it, or even I just kind of wilt it in the if I'm going to cook it rather than eat it like fresh in salads, I would just wilt it in the pan with like garlic and onion and stuff, maybe. Yeah, because I guess you can boil it, can't you, but it kind of, it takes everything out of it, doesn't it?
Yeah, no, I wouldn't. I would probably not. Any kind of leafy type veg, I would probably not boil. I would either steam it or wilt it down.
Yeah, yeah.
Or cook it with something else so that it doesn't have to cook on its own. Like if you were making rice, you can just put it on the top of the rice or something like that.
Yeah, and then it'll just kind of,
wilt down, like, isn't it? Mm.
Yeah. I think you're right. Boiling it's not maybe the best. You're not really doing it any favours by boiling it, are you?
Yeah. Okay, so we've obviously got the charm of all of this produce coming out in June and July. What have we got to look forward to going forward?
Yeah. So, I mean, obviously, like, I suppose when we get more into summer and we've had the longer days and hopefully more sunshine and more heat. So you've got all your peas maybe have come through or are coming through. excuse me. If you've managed to plant aubergines or peppers, two of my absolute favourites, they're going to be ready more towards the end of July into August.
Mm.
They're not that, I've personally found they're not that easy to grow in this country.
No.
But
I agree with you. It would be quite challenging.
Unless you can grow in a greenhouse or something, it's quite difficult. But yeah, when they come through, I think, they're amazing. Sweet corn's another good one. That's relatively easy to do here as well. You just need space, really. But that's, I think when you pick like a whole, I guess the whole cob from the plant, and it's just... Yeah, it's so sweet and delicious. So that's a good one.
I love sweet corn. My favorite way to have sweet corn is to barbecue it. I don't know if you've ever had it like that.
Yeah, no, it's really good, isn't it?
A lot of people love to eat sweet corn, and then obviously when we put the butter on, that's when it becomes like yum, let's have more. But there's loads of different ways of having it. And who doesn't love a little bit of butter on their corn?
Yeah, you need it really, don't you? I mean, it just adds that extra extra goodness. Other things, I guess, in terms of fruit, it's quite exciting because you start getting all the strawberries and raspberries. They've come through. At the moment we're a bit, especially in this country, it's more like, with, I think, gooseberries maybe already and rhubarb. But we need to wait a little bit longer maybe for the strawberry. Strawberries should be coming in now as well.
I never really see gooseberries around. I don't know if that's because there isn't a demand for it in the supermarkets and places like that. But, you know, gooseberries, gosh, we should be having more of that.
Yeah, because they grow so well in this country, but it's definitely something that seems to be more homegrown than something that you could buy in the supermarket. You're right, you very rarely see them like a punnet of gooseberries, do you? It's quite uncommon.
And it's such a shame because when you do see the raspberries, they're usually very, very soft and kind of wilted away. And I always think that they taste so good and they look so good. Yeah. You always need to have them on any kind of summer dessert.
Yeah,
alongside
cream or
your
something.
Strawberries.
I think raspberries are one of my favourites, definitely. But you're right, they're quite delicate, aren't they? So I guess they don't really transport very well or fit in supermarkets very well. The fresher, the better, I suppose. But you could say that about everything, I guess.
Now, you may not know this, but do you have any idea where people might want to go strawberry picking or raspberry picking anywhere in the London area?
I don't know. I know, like, Kent is a big strawberry growing area, isn't it? Or soft fruit growing area. So I'm sure there's lots of, like, pick your own farms. I've never done it, to be honest with you. Well, I have done it, but not since I was a child and not around London, so I don't know. But I think Kent and Essex, there must be quite a lot because there's, it's a big strawberry growing area. And maybe especially this year because they keep saying they're so short of pickers, because of the not having so many people coming over to do it. So
they might need people to help them pick, and then
Yeah.
The only difference is that we'll be picking and eating.
Yeah, I know. That's the problem, isn't it? Yeah. I remember doing it as a child and just eating. Yeah. Being so ill because you just eat kilos of strawberries. Like, oh. But good.
Okay. So, well, I mean, I think that, that you've given us quite a lot there, and mm-hmm. it's really nice to talk to you as always. I hope that you'll come back in July and we can have another chat about what's coming up.
What's going on then? Yeah, definitely. I'd love to. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Bye.
It's wonderful, as always, to have you listening in on our podcast, and hopefully it'll be your companion in the kitchen. If you like this podcast, please do share it, subscribe to it, and repost where possible. And we'll look forward to seeing you in class. Have a wonderful time cooking. Bye for now.